This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And this week, on Tuesday, the Illinois National Guard marked its 300th birthday. On the 9th of May, 1723, a militia comprised of residents of Kaskaskia, Illinois, had their first drill. Since then, Illinois Guardsmen and women have participated in most of America's major and minor conflicts. Notable alumni of the Guard include Captain Abraham Lincoln and Lieutenant General Ulysses S. Grant. Joining me now to talk about this history are Lieutenant Colonel Brad Layton, who's Public Affairs Director of the Illinois National Guard, and Adriana Schroeder, Command Historian for the Illinois National Guard. Both of you, welcome to the 21st Show. Thanks for being with me.
Thanks for having us. We're excited.
And listeners, if you want to join our conversation today, the number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. So I'd like to begin by just asking you to talk about what I mentioned there, this first drill in Kaskaskia, Illinois. I understand it was under the French command, under the French colonial period. Talk about that, what you mark as the beginning of the Guard.
Well, it started in 1718 when a gentleman by the name of John Law got a charter from the king for a monopoly on the French fur trade. And then you have basically in that area, you had French Canadian fur trappers who took Native American wives and settled in those communities. And then you had the French had to set up a government.
And a fort, and I understand, and a military command was there. And then they, at some point, they decided we need a militia here to supplement the sort of the French regulars, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It was, what we say is we were born out of the community and we need the community support. And so that's what happened. They essentially raised a militia out of the local Kaskaskia community. And brought them together and checked and made sure they had enough gunpowder and lead to defend the community and they drilled them, and that's the beginning. And since then, we've evolved over the years, but we've always kept that community base. It's always been fur traders, farmers, modern day, IT folks, whatever that have been coming out to support the community and in times of need and as well as fight the nation's wars. So we have that state and the federal mission.
Absolutely. So I should tell listeners, this is going to be a very selective history because of the time constraints of doing a radio show. 300 years, we've got about 11 minutes left. So I'm going to skip ahead to some of the notable alumni, and that does include Captain Abraham Lincoln. Can you talk about his role in, it wasn't called the Illinois National Guard at the time, but where was he in terms of volunteer military service in Illinois?
Well, at the time, it would have been the Illinois Militia. And Lincoln found himself, without a job at the time. He didn't have a family. So he wanted to do what new recruits do today. He wanted to serve his country. So, and back in that time, you got to choose your commander. So the boys that he was with at the time chose him as a commander. His enlistment date was April 22nd, 1832. He was got in trouble a couple of times and received a little bit of punishment for firing too close to camp. And so it's a little comical there. He had lessons that he had to learn, just like new recruits do today. And after his term, which was only about less than 2 months, he enlisted again, but this time he enlisted as a private. So, and then he went on to enlist a third time as well.
So he served time as both an officer and an enlisted. And he learned a lot of leadership lessons. He said being elected captain was one of the greatest pleasures that he's had since. And he brought those lessons in leadership. At one point, he had to carry around a wooden sword. That's right?
Yeah, that was one of his punishments.
Yeah, yeah. And at one point, his soldiers went and raided the liquor store.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, as an officer, you have to take responsibility for your troops. So as punishment for his troops going out and perhaps drinking a little bit too much, he had to carry a wooden sword and pay the price for what his soldiers did. But those are leadership lessons that he learned and he brought forth with him when he was later commander in chief.
Well, speaking of commanders in chief, there was another one who came out of the Illinois Guard, and let's jump ahead to the Civil War, because Ulysses S. Grant, he had gone to West Point. This is interesting. He had been in the regular army, but he didn't want to make it his career. Then the Civil War breaks out. Talk about U.S. Grant in the Illinois Volunteers.
What's so interesting, when he got his nickname, Unconditional Surrender Grant, that actually happened at Fort Donelson. He actually surrendered to Confederate General Simon Buckner. Simon Buckner was our 9th Adjutant General. So it's kind of a really unique story here. Grant and Buckner were friends at West Point. Buckner covered Grant's tab at a hotel once in the 1850s when he was poor and peddling firewood for his family and couldn't afford his hotel bill. And then Buckner ends up being a pallbearer at Grant's funeral. So the relationship there is really, really interesting.
And Grant starts his service. I say Grant starts his service in the Illinois Volunteers during the Civil War and ultimately becomes the commander in chief of all the Union armies.
Yes.
Yeah. There's another. Let me just take a moment to remind listeners. This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about the 300th anniversary of the Illinois National Guard. They marked that this week. It was on Tuesday, 300 years ago, the 9th of May, 1723, that a militia made up of residents of Kaskaskia, Illinois, had their first drill. We're talking about this with Adriana Schroeder, who is the command historian at the Illinois National Guard, as well as the public affairs director for the Guard, Lieutenant Colonel Brad Layton. If you want to join our conversation, 800-222-9455 is the number to call in. Let's make another leap forward in history to World War One. There were guardsmen fighting overseas during that time. Can you talk about some of the notable exploits in that war?
We would love to talk about the Battle of Hamel because Battle of Hamel actually was fought on July 4th, 1918, and it was the first time that U.S. forces fought side by side with the Australians. Of course, we fought side by side with them through many, many conflicts since that time, including the Vietnam War. But those U.S. forces that fought side by side with the Australians for the first time, Illinois National Guard soldiers.
Also, we were the very first American units to go in. We were the very first of the American Expeditionary Force to fight, period. So it was kind of a big deal. All eyes were on Illinois to see what the United States would do in battle.
We had the Consul General this weekend, a Consul General of Australia with us to celebrate this. And he made a point of saying that at that time, we fell under the command of the Australians, and that has not happened very much since, just because of the prominence of the U.S. military.
Interesting. And there was actually, I understand there was a sort of a notable element of history in terms of one of the, I guess it wasn't the first unit of all black soldiers, but maybe commanded by an African-American. And I don't know if this was related. There was recently a city park in Springfield, as parks named after Stephen Douglas and other monuments have been sort of reimagined. One named for an American soldier named, or an Illinois soldier named Duncan. I don't know if you can talk about that at all.
Yeah, Colonel Otis Duncan was the highest ranking African-American soldier in World War One. He commanded what was when we had the 8th Infantry Regiment, which was an all-black unit based here in Illinois. When the Army took them for World War One, they renamed them the 370th Infantry Regiment. And when they were overseas for World War One, Colonel Otis Duncan was the highest ranking African-American officer in the entire U.S. military. He commanded the 370th. And it's an amazing story. We have actually that unit, the 8th Infantry, goes back to all the way back to the Spanish-American War. Am I right there?
Yep. Spanish-American War, Mexican Border War, and then World War One. And aside from, you know, what we know and recognize as like the Buffalo Soldiers of the Civil War, literally we had the first unit that was more battle hardened than the other black units in World War One.
And I'm sorry, our time is getting so short and there's so much more to talk about. Just tell me briefly about the King of Belgium at the end of the Second World War. I understand that Illinoisans played a significant role there.
Yeah. Well, the King of Belgium, Leopold III, was being held by the Nazis. And it was getting close to the end. The Germans were going to surrender any day. We had officers going through towns and citizens were coming up to them, telling them, hey, you know, we heard that this king is being held by the Nazis. So our guys being trained as scouts to get in, get the information they need and get out. It was the perfect mission for them. So they devised a plan and went in with a German scout car that had been stolen from a local family, and they were able to get in that way. And once they got in, the Germans decided they would rather surrender to the Americans than deal with the Russians, who were also on their way to the location.
And it was vital because they didn't know at the time, you know, they didn't know what was going to happen to the Belgian king. You know, that the Nazis could have chosen to execute the king, this head of state of a European power, or if the Russians captured him. We didn't really know the political ramifications of that either, or what the Russians would have done with him. So it was a small squad of soldiers that made a decision on the ground to go rescue this guy, made a very daring plan, you know, posing as German officers to get by that defense, and then rescued the king. And when the king came to the United States, ever since, he made a point of coming in and visiting his rescuers from the Illinois National Guard. So something we're very proud of. And that unit is actually still active, the 106 Cav, and they competed in what's called the Gainey Cup, which is for cavalry scouts, and they placed first in the United States as their cavalry scout squad. So they're still doing great work.
And last Saturday, we also had the Belgian representative from the Belgium government with us as well.
Interesting. Well, I'm afraid we are just about out of time. Lieutenant Colonel Layton, just super briefly, a few sentences. Members of the Guard, when they're in Springfield, they're at Camp Lincoln. They wear an insignia of, at least the ones assigned to headquarters, wear an insignia of Lincoln on their sleeve. Just talk super briefly about the importance of history to the life of a Guardsman.
Well, I mean, history, we're the oldest component of the U.S. military, but more so, we developed from the community, and we gain our strength from the community, and we really want to tell that story because it shaped who we are. You know, in the Illinois National Guard, you can serve right here in Illinois, and for the most part, you know, just take part in your civilian job and do your civilian work 1 week in a month, 2 weeks in the summer. And then when there's an emergency and local first responders are overwhelmed, we come out like we did for COVID-19 and several other emergencies and national emergencies like wars.
Lieutenant Colonel Brad Layton is Public Affairs Director at the Illinois National Guard, and we also spoke with Adriana Schroeder, who's the Command Historian at the National Guard, celebrating its 300th anniversary this week. Thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st Show, and that is all the time we have for today and this week. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We will talk with you again on Monday.